radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, or in chapter 16. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Now, I've given you a bulletin that has on the back of it a little guy named Pepe. You want to look at that? Pepe is a guy who I've stumbled across in the past few months that has very much intrigued me, because Pepe was really just a little meme that was out there, a little character floating around on the internet. But in the past year or two, he's been commandeered by the QAnon people. And all these people identify with the frogs here. And the reason they identify with the frogs is because in chapter 8 of Exodus, if you read the passage on the bottom of your bulletin, it says, "And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, and shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, and into thy bed, and into thy house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and in thine ovens, and in thy kneading troughs, and the frogs will come up upon thee, and upon thy people, and upon all thy servants." And the reason that Pepe was such a happy discovery by some was because they thought, well, we're like that. We've got 300 million people in this country. How can we be run by 500 plus in Washington? People are saying that all over the world. They're QAnon and they identify with frogs. I don't know if this is what's going on here, but every time I've preached through this book, I've had no idea what the frogs were. But if you have the dragon, the false prophet, and the beast, you can have a political side to these people who think they're identifying with frogs. They're saying, we will overwhelm them. The wealthiest of the world who are trying to subjugate and to destroy and to kill. To me, it just blew my hair back when I realized they were identifying with a frog. I thought, what's this frog thing? Why are they identifying? They've got memes. They've got the video. Have you ever heard that song, "Who Let the Dogs Out"? Well, they've got a video where they're all wearing little frog heads and they're moving around. And they're saying, who let the frogs out? And the idea is that there's more of them than there are of the elitists who want to subjugate. Think about that for a little while and let your mind ruminate. In your mind, think about that. A lot of stuff is lining up out here. We now have an internet where you can see everything from everywhere at any time. We now have the wherewithal to make everybody get a mark so they can buy or sell. We now have a frog movement. What? And look where they're moving them. It says that these unclean spirits like frogs, and by the way, I want to drill in on that word unclean. It means they're not saved. Okay? And when I've watched some of these people talk who are the leadership of these movements, they'll swear and carry on. They'll actually make a case for using the F word over and over again, as if that's Christian. And then they'll quote passages that are like, no weapon formed against you will stand. And, you know, God's on our side because we're patriotic. All we want is our freedom back. Yeah, that's all they want. They don't want Jesus. They don't want to move out of their illicit relationships. They don't want to repent of their sin. They want to continue. These are unclean spirits like frogs. Are they still in the wings? Who's still out there? All they have to do is put the word out somehow. The dragon, that would be the worst of the worst of these people. But then there are some maybe who are all about the beast, because he's political. We don't know about all that stuff, but we're political. And maybe there's the religious people, the false prophet, who are religiously invested here. Now, the Bible says that they are unclean spirits like frogs. Unclean, not saved. They think they are. They think, you know, they'd like to have a beer with Jesus. There's no separation, no holiness, no desire for it. All they want to do is just have their peace back, the peace they knew a few years ago. The Bible says, and behold, that these spirits went out. They were the spirits of devils in verse 14. And it says that they were working miracles, these spirits of devils. And they go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. So now you got all these people who are moved by these frog-like spirits moving them to the battle of Armageddon. And they're going in with their heads held high. This is our moment. Now you got to understand, they have a full-bodied plan, just like Jesus gave us a plan, the end from the beginning. It's all there. It was all conceived right there at Babel. I will not withhold anything that they have imagined to do, God said. But he confounded their language to give it time. Now I have an app on my phone that I can talk to somebody in Chinese and they can understand it because it will immediately translate it for them. We've had kids who were exchange students from Japan and China, and we could just have a conversation and laugh because sometimes it didn't get it completely right, and Lord only knows what we said. But we were able to converse, even though neither of us knew the other's language. You and I are living in some amazing times where the curse of Babel is even being dealt with handily. It says they went forth to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. And God puts an interjection here. It's like a throwback to something you need to know now, because this is to people who know now. And he says, I come as a thief in the night. You're reading it now, but I want you to know you won't expect it. I come as a thief in the night. He's not talking about second coming. He's talking about that first one. He says the same things in the 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. He tells us he comes as a thief. You're not in the darkness that day should overtake you as a thief, 1 Thessalonians 5 says. You're not appointed to wrath, 1 Thessalonians 5 says. This is all coming. He says, blessed is he who watches and keeps. The real word is guards. It's tereo. Keeps his garments, meaning that you understand that your garments are not your own. They're Christ's robes. They're Christ's righteousness. We need to walk with Jesus down here, lest we walk naked and they see our shame. The idea of you being found to be, well, compromised to the point where when they see you're gone because you got raptured, they never saw anything in you that warned them off of what was coming. He's telling them, this is not going to be good. You need to think about that. This is parenthetical. Verse 16 says, back on track, and he gathered them together to the place called Armageddon in the Hebrew tongue. The word Armageddon comes from a word that literally means rendezvous at its core. It's a meeting place. It's a rendezvous. God has a rendezvous, you know. He has one with all of us. The Bible says in Hebrews, it says, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Some people like to think about, you know, reincarnation. They've even come up with creative terms, not just reincarnation, but they've also come up with the idea of going through wormholes and how people are going back in time and coming forward in time. Weird beliefs, but that's the religious fervor with which they live today. They think this is their time. They're going to wake up to a horrifying reality. The Bible says they came to the place called Armageddon, and the Bible says, and then the seventh angel poured out his vial upon the air. It doesn't talk about Armageddon here. He's going to get back to it over in chapter 19 when the Lord breaks the sky at the last minute. He's already talked about it earlier in the last chapter about how they were brought into the wine press and how God dealt with that. But here he's just mentioning this is how this is all going to unfold, because that was all parenthetical. He was telegraphing what was coming. Here they are. They're in Armageddon. Bible says in verse 17, the seventh angel poured out his vial upon the air, and there came out a great voice from the temple of heaven which said these words, it is done. Literally, it has come. It's the Young's literal that gets the sense. Not many of them do. It's the word genomai, which means come. And the Bible says in the Young's, it says, and the seventh messenger did pour out his vial upon the air, and there came forth a great voice from the sanctuary of the heavens, from the throne, saying, it has come. This is what everybody in the family of God wanted to happen. It's what those martyrs under the altar wanted to happen. How long, O Lord? It has come. God has dealt handily with all of them. And the Bible says, and there was voices in verse 18, and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. Can't say enough about it. It says it wasn't like this since the time of creation in reality. Man, before man even was born. This is, you can imagine the thunderings and the lightnings. And the one bearing witness was there, okay, which would be the angels. They would have been singing during the creation, Job tells us. It says there was never this kind of lightning and thunder and earthquake. Why? Well, because, frankly, we're going to have a leveling of the playing field. The whole earth is going to be retooled right now. Now, there's no place you want to be except in the air when there's an earthquake, right? Well, this is an earthquake, and the whole earth is going to be moving. The Bible says in verse 19, the great city was divided, that's Jerusalem, into three parts, and the cities of all the nations fell. It's pipto-peto. It literally is a reduplicated word. This is going to fail and fall. God's dealing with them so handily.
The Bible says, and great Babylon came into remembrance. We're going to get to that next time we get into chapter 17. Came into remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. She's going to get special attention. Verse 20 says, and every island fled away. All of the islands of Hawaii and all those, they're either going to flee away in the sense of they're going to be overwhelmed by the oceans, or they're going to flee away in the sense they're going to be rejoined where the land under the all ocean comes up and rejoins everything. Because the Bible says in every mountain, then the mountains were not found. God's going to take what happened after the flood, where the mountains rose up and the waters assuaged. He's going to push them all back down, and the earth is going to be made into a flat, more accommodating land mass. The Bible says this is all going to happen. And in verse 21, it says, and there fell upon men. And this is what the actual plague was. A great hail out of heaven, every stone the weight of a talent. That's 100-pound stones. There's no place to hide now. And the Bible says, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail. And the plague thereof was exceedingly great. Let me close with this. When you read these passages, you understand that some people are going to be given the sentence of everlasting destruction. The Bible says that death and hell was cast into the lake of fire, and whosoever's name was not written in the Lamb's book of life was also cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. Death means separation. Physical death, soul separates from the body. Well, the second death is the soul being separated from God for eternity. Held in a place called Hades, until the final judgment, because it won't be till the end of the age of the millennial kingdom that every sin that person's done, the billiard ball effect, will come into its own, not until the final amen at the great white throne. Then those people who will be brought before the great white throne will be cast into the lake of fire. When that happens, there will be no hope. That will be the place of eternal doom, eternal devastation, and then eternal darkness. It's going to be a bad day for them. They need to get saved. And the Bible says that there's a point in chapter 24, verse 51 of Matthew. It says that God will come and he will cut a person asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This weeping and gnashing of teeth occurs 5 times in Scripture, the picture of it. I say to you that as you read this, you must access the realities here. God's got people he's going to cast into outer darkness forever. And what he's talking about here are people who thought they were saved and weren't. He says they're going to be put in with the hypocrites. They think they're good. We need to be the people of God. So I close with these words from Psalm 2. It says in Psalm 2, verse 10 through 12, it says, be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you and you perish from the way when the wrath of God is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. When it says kiss the Son, that is the Greek rendition of worship him. It's proskuneo. It means the puppy dog toward God. Kiss the Son. Kiss his hand. Kiss his ring. He's so good. He's so good. I mean, if you were in this devastation, and all of the world around you was burning. You were thirsty. You were hungry. You were dirty. You had no loved one left to look for and find. And you're there. And suddenly, Jesus showed up. And he lifted up your face. And he saw when fear was there. And he saw the recognition in your eyes. And he drew you to his chest. And it was cool. Cool comfort. And you saw the tear as your face buries into his chest. Because he came for you. He came for you. That would be an awesome day. Some people have to go that way. You don't have to. You can come to him now. Would you bow with me for a moment?
Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30. We hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.